ce qui se passe en France.
What's going on in France? Bougrabe exclaims. I'm worried some staffers won't continue working for Charlie because they're terrorized. Today, when you take a pen to paper in France, you can be killed. Media organizations around the world have offered donations and office space to keep Charlie alive. The magazine has said it will publish on time next week, printing a record 1 million copies. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Freyer in Paris.
And this is Morning Edition from NPR News with Steve Inskeep. I'm Renee Montaigne.
Support for the Marketplace Morning Report on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat 608 3/4 up 1, May 613 up 3/4, soft March wheat 569 3/4 up 2 3/4, May 573 3/4 up 1 3/4, March corn 399 3/4 up 5.5, May 407 3/4 up 5, July 414 up 4.5, December 421.5 up 4.25. January soybeans 1050 up 5, March 1053 up 4.75, July 1063 1/4 up 4.5, November 1019.5 up 2.5. January soybean meal 363 up 170. January soybean oils 33.63 up 5. February live cattle 160.75 down 285. January feeders 222.40 down 322.5. The March is down 397.5, now down 405. February lean hogs 78.70 up 52.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, I often like to think that maybe the technicals the week before a major report foreshadows something. Do you think that's the case this time around?
I don't think it is as much this time around, Dave, because I don't think the trade has been trading as much the technicals, and I mean that from a standpoint of the whipsaw price action we've seen going into this report the last 2 weeks. It's almost as if we're trading a 12-hour or 15-hour news cycle in the grain markets, kind of like what the outside markets do normally, and I think what's happened is between the dollar rally and the crude oil sell-off and the whipsaw market action in the equities markets and in the bond markets, which we touched on Wednesday, I think this has really played a significant role in the corn, bean, and wheat markets. And I think, you know, if you look at an oversimplification of this week's trade heading into the report, I think you could connect the dots that the weak export demand in wheat because of the dollar rally is showing up. And that's not been strong enough. The export demand has not been strong enough, or the winter weather has not been strong enough to offset some of the need by the funds to want to pull out of some of their wheat longs. And so we go into the end of the week with wheat down about 13 cents, corn up a couple cents as of this Globex trade this morning, and the beans up about 40 cents. So pretty clearly the trade's been trading more demand and has been trading more currencies.
After the reports are over, and oh, by the way, there probably will be some volatility on Monday.
Yeah, I'd guess.
But after the reports are over, we're going to be left with demand, and we're going to be left with that U.S. dollar. And boy, that U.S. dollar is up against what highs from 5 years ago and threatening to bust to the north.
Well, and even in the actual dollar itself, not the index, but the dollar itself is running to levels not seen since 2004, 2005. So we're really at decade-level price appreciation in the actual dollar. I think when you boil that down to the report, I still think that you probably need to feed the bull on Monday's report for the corn and especially for the wheat if that dollar wants to stay strong. I would be watching very carefully here for a good report, matched up with a technical sell signal in the dollar index, and that is flashing right now as we speak. And so as we go into the end of the week here, I think that's one of the best things to be looking at, or the most price supportive things to be looking at, is the trade has come into the report expecting a bigger wheat carryover number versus December, a slightly smaller corn carryover versus December, a slightly larger corn carryover versus December, and a slightly larger bean carryover versus December. And so you've got a situation where they're not really expecting a lot of bullishness in this report, which I think that's quite a bit different than a month ago.
So what would then be a bullish signal in terms of ending stocks? Do we want to look at the ending stocks, or do we want to look at quarterly grain stocks and first quarter disappearance?
I think the ending stocks are more important because that covers the harvested acres, the yield, and then the demand. I mean, even in the corn, the FSI demand should be very, very strong. And the last hogs and pigs report in the end of December would suggest the USDA is going to have trouble really maneuvering the feed and residual lower to balance the sheet upward. So I would say the ending stocks takes precedent. The model that I use, the price model I use, if my estimate of like a 1.85 corn carryover comes to fruition on Monday, that would suggest that we should be able to take lead month futures up to between 440 and 450, because that's historically where we go this time of the year in the lead month futures if we do see a carryover slide back down towards that 1.85 level.
And maybe this is where, though, the technicals do come in, because for the last 3 weeks, the Bears have just tried to beat the heck out of the marketplace, and they can't get it done.
Yeah, and I spoke incorrectly a second ago, but I'll correct it with the answer to your question, is that we have a slightly lower expectation for soybean ending stocks of 393 mm-hmm. for the average trade guess. And so I think what the trade has done, to tie into what you just talked about, is buy beans and sell corn. And if you look at the November bean-December corn ratio, you're talking about a level of 2.44. That's a level not seen since the end of November of last year. And so I think because of the export demand and because of the wheat pulling on the corn to the downside, you've really walked into the report with a significant premium in the soybeans. And so my take is you need to get a bullish report in the soybeans especially. And I would further say that given that CONAB came in this morning and raised their bean production number for Brazil. It was slight, but it was still up, and it came in pretty high at 79.1 million tons. And then we also got the December Chinese Consumer Price Index and Producer Price Index. That CPI number was one of the lowest in about 5 years, or running near five-year lows. So my take on this report is the bean bowl needs to be fed more than the corn bowl because of what they've done in the ratio.
And given all those fundamentals, we could still see an ending stocks in the beans of what, 370, 380?
Yeah, I mean, I came in at 381 with the idea that we would see an actual production decline. This is where I really differ from the average trade guess, because they're actually seeing a production increase, but yet the exports increase offsets that. If we would have both a production decrease and an export increase, and we got down to that 380 level, I think that would feed the bull. But, you know, that takes quite a bit, because the average trade guess is a good 12, 11, 13 million tons, a million bushels above that versus the 381 level.
What else do we need to know going into the report?
Well, we talked about it a little bit Wednesday, but just to hit it again, you know, we've seen the wheat really take over as the leadership role here since the Thanksgiving holiday when it comes to the corn market. And with corn demand, export demand still not showing the strength that it needs, I think the winter wheat acres really become important. And the low trade guess for winter wheat acres came in, I think, at around 41 million acres for winter wheat, all winter wheat. And that would be a really friendly number, because it would suggest that the weather means even more. And so that could actually support the corn as well.
And it's not out of the realm of possibility we could see a number that low. I mean, we do know that there were planting problems.
Yeah, there were, especially in your state of Illinois and on eastward, especially in Ohio, where you had producers literally shelling corn up until Christmas time, and so they didn't literally get their wheat in. And I think this goes back to the crop conditions report for some of these states this past week really shined a light on how tough things are looking in the soft red wheat. I think the hard red wheat numbers will be up, because most of the producers west of me seem very, very happy with soil conditions when they were getting ready to plant.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks,
talk to you
Dave.
Again this afternoon. That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. March corn trading 399, up 4.75. July is 413.5, up 4. December 420.75, up 3.5. January soybeans 1050.5, up 5.5. July 1062, up 3.25. November 1019, up 2. January soybean meal 363, up 170. January soybean oil 3363, up 5 cents. February live cattle locked limit down at 160.60. January feeders 222.10, down 352.5. February lean hogs are 78.67.5. They're up 50 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.
So we're going to start.